Okay, guys, welcome to the meeting. I've got an agenda for you guys all set up. I know that some of you received that agenda and probably printed it out. If you are on the road like Steve is, it's something that you can review when you get home later today. If you need to, probably a good thing to look at. There's some pictures of some stuff we're going to describe later, and it'll just make a lot more sense if you're looking at that. I'll do my best to describe what I and some others are looking at, but we'll go through that set of agenda that I started with an email yesterday, and then we'll open the floor up to anything you guys want to talk about at the conclusion of that. So one more time, for those who probably just joined, go ahead and hit *6 on your phone to unmute it to participate in the call, like always. Remember, it takes about 2, sometimes 3 seconds of a delay. We'll wait for you, and just be prepared for that. So when you hit *6 and you want to start sharing your thoughts, maybe count to 2 before you start doing that so the rest of us will hear you guys. And then again, simply hit *6 after that, and that'll remute your line so we don't get some of that background noise that Alex was talking about. Well, again, welcome. We wanted to start off by talking about the National Convention and an update to the schedule. Some of you already know this. I did shoot an email out, but I wanted to cover it here too. We are meeting on Friday and Saturday from 9 to 4. I hope anybody didn't make any travel plans. As you know, we have our celebration dinner Saturday night anyway, so we are obviously hoping most, if not all of you, would still be around for that. But the meeting is going from 9 to 4 on Friday and then 9 to 4 again on Saturday. We are not shutting down the meeting at 12:30, 1 o'clock on Saturday. So 9 to 4 both days. Our first guest speaker is going to be Tim Ropechan from Pro Repair, as you all know, from 2 meetings ago. He spoke with us, and I think 1 or 2 meetings before that. So I think most of you guys are real familiar with Tim. Great guy, knowledgeable guy. He's been in the business since the very start, early to mid-80s. So as usual, he'll be educating us on the new developments in the industry, the new products, the new services. I did want to talk about something he's probably not going to want to talk about, so I'll just talk to you about it now. He promoted their high-tech repair center 2 years ago, and many of you guys took advantage of that and sent in anything from the curing lights to some weird lab motors. Gosh, I think even somebody sent in a laser or two. We found in that two-year period, this two-year trial period, guys, that we've been working with their high-tech repair center, if it's a Cavo electrotorque box, something like that, or a Diagnodent, Cavo Diagnodent, which many of you have seen and are familiar with, they're nails on that. I've had repairs come back to us from anywhere from $200, maybe a couple at the very high end of maybe $800 or $900. But remember, it's about a $3,000 unit. So we've mostly got repairs in the $400 range, I think, on those Diagnodents. The Cavo Electrotorx, most of those Bud can do here as far as changing the line cords out. I think 1 or 2 you guys have ordered the line cord and had them walk you through that procedure and process. But anyway, if it's not something we can do here, if it has to do with a Cavo Electrotorx or a Diagnodent, they're all over it. If it has to do with some of those other things, I think Harvey Fox sent in a curing light, something else. Somebody sent in a laser detector, kind of like that Diagnodent, but some off-brand. And in my opinion, they really kind of dropped the ball and fell short of their promises on that. So just keep in mind on the Cavo stuff, they're all over it. If it's not Cavo, if it's kind of some off-brand curing light or something, they kind of failed us a little bit. So obviously, if you want, you can mention that to Tim during the meeting. I wouldn't, but, we'll take advantage of them for what we can, and the things that we can't, we'll get elsewhere. Secondly, we wanted to talk about some of the blowout items. I mentioned to you guys that I was going to call around to some of our suppliers and see what kind of stuff they had maybe overstock on their shelf. You'll see the 501-06A layers bearing. They had a lot of those in the ceramic format on the shelf. So They offered them to us at the steel ball bearing price. They're just trying to move them. They had about 1,000. I ordered all of them. So your 50106A layers rear bearing is just going to come standard in the ceramic format. So instead of paying closer to $12 for that bearing, if you wanted the ceramic, same price as the steel, and that's just going to be for the next 1,000 that we have. That's just going to be the standard 50106A bearing. They had some other bearings offered, and many of you guys will remember this. When ceramic bearings were still under the umbrella of being proprietary to Star, the manufacturers were trying to figure out a way to make bearings last longer without the ceramic ball. And the way that they could do that was improving the cage design, because, as you know, that's what breaks down and eventually causes the failure on a bearing. So what many of we actually carried, and many of you guys tried, I don't know if Jay Eubanks is on the line, but I remember him just loving the silver-coated bearings. Well, I don't know that we went away from them, but as soon as the ceramic bearings came out, we basically switched to simply carrying the standard phenolic or polyamide cage with the ceramic bearing. So that left New Hampshire with probably thousands of silver-coated and Teflon-coated ball separator-style steel bearings. So they contacted me. I contacted them back regarding Midwest straight angular bearings with the silver-coated ball separators, Midwest straight angular bearings with the Teflon-coated phenolic ball separators, Kavo angular bearings with the silver-coated ball separators, and the Star 430 bearing with silver-coated ball separators. So these are all steel ball bearings, but they had that upgraded ball separator, which, of course, was at, you know, a higher price. So because they're on the shelf, I'm not only hoping to get them for the standard price, but maybe even lower than that. So I'm going to update you guys on that, and I should have some pricing and the quantities available on those later today. But as I mentioned, the 50106A bearing, that's already ordered and on the shelf now as the standard bearing being ceramic. Thirdly, I wanted to talk to you guys about some of the Sable branded items that they're offering us specials on. The TDC 4500 and 6500 handpiece, they lowered the price on those. So they're now just $399 each. According to Mike Moreau at Sable, they're going to run this special through the rest of the year. So this isn't just a monthly special or a summer special that they do. I think they have ordered some or they have offered some quarterly specials in the past. But on these items, according to them, according to Mike, who's, of course, the owner, they're running these specials through the rest of the year. You'll also notice on your agenda, if you've got it, if you don't, you can check it out when you get home. But if you do have it, the Sable 1-to-1 nose cones are $90. They're a really attractive nose cone. You guys will see them when you get home or if you're looking at the agenda. I've probably sold 8 or 10 of them so far, and they're just a really, really nice nose cone. They really stepped it up on this product. But anyway, and they're also less than the prior aftermarket and a lot less than the NSK original. So those are $90 through the rest of the year. And then the 20K motor that attaches to, which is essentially an exact copy of the NSK EX203 motor, that is $169 through the rest of the year. So I think they're trying to move product. They're probably trying to promote the Sable brand name. They've always had, as you guys know, the Sable products always been really good stuff. I feel like they struck out a little bit on an RDH motor that they offered recently. I know Patty Fisher in Colorado bought a bunch of those and supplied them to a customer, and she ran into some chuck problems and some plating issues with the swivel not working that great. So I already talked to Mike about that, and they're pulling it from their line until they get some quality control down. But everything they've had other than that RDH motor that they kind of, you know, stubbed their toe on has been really, really good stuff, as you guys know. So,
David?
Yeah.
What is the suggested retail for the nose cone, the $90 one?
Probably $195, Alex.
Okay, what about the motor?
That thing retails for $280.
Got it. Okay, thank you.
Yep, you bet, Alex. Great questions, by the way. And he didn't ask on the Sable brand handpieces, the TDC 4500 and 6500. I know a lot of guys have been offering those at $599 to $699, but they're cheaper now. They're $399 each, so if you need to lower your price to make the sale but still make the same profit, obviously you can there too. And then we may have more questions at the end here, but lastly, I really wanted to talk about the United States Postal Service. For those of you who don't have the agenda in front of you, I took pictures, and the pictures that I took are of packages that you guys sent in to us with handpieces in them in the last 3 weeks. So this isn't something I've accumulated over many, many months or years. The pictures I took and the pictures that I provided you guys on the agenda are of United States Priority Mail packages that we've received in literally the last month. I've got a picture of a U.S. Priority Mail envelope, their flat rate envelope, with literally the entire middle of it cut in half. I mean, it's still in one piece, but it's there's a huge rip out of it. Luckily for that franchise owner, none of the product in there was lost. I think that the reason that it wasn't lost is because inside that actual Priority Mail envelope, the product was in a bubble pack, like the bubble bags that you guys get your parts in from us. So whenever you send us something, please just take one of those bubble bags you get from us and kind of recycle it by putting your hand pieces in it and putting it in the Priority Mail package that you're going to send us, because that's kind of an extra line of padding and security that was very needed on that one. Unfortunately, one of our franchise owners, if you look at the next picture to the right, sent a couple hand pieces to us in a manila envelope without, unfortunately, tape all the way around the seams, like maybe in a cross pattern long ways and then height wise. And that package, if you look closely at the picture, was ripped at the very, very edge, and the hand pieces were lost. So we received an empty manila envelope from a franchise owner. Real bummer, obviously. So he's currently working right now on replacing those items for his doctor, but golly, I mean, no matter what you send us, man, just throw some tape crossways and, you know, all the way around widthwise and all the way around heightwise, and that'll save your bacon. If you look at the last two pictures, it's of a U.S. Priority Mail box. The picture really doesn't do it justice in this. The boxes came in worse shape than these pictures make it look like, but essentially it looked like the damn driver ran over the darn thing. I mean, it's smashed in a way that I guess it got caught in the conveyor belt or something. Luckily, whoever sent that to us, I can't remember the franchise owner's name right now, but the U.S. Priority Mail box had what I was just talking about. The franchise owner put a piece of packaging tape around lengthwise and then one strip around heightwise, and that's what saved it, because the sides were actually busted out and busted out, not where the tape was. So because that tape was there, the package or the box did not open completely, and all the contents were still in it. So I don't know what in the heck United States Postal Service is doing, at least over the last month or so. Are we getting the package? Yeah, we're getting the package, but it looks like it's being caught in some kind of conveyor belt system or something, and we're getting a lot of boxes and envelopes in lately with some damage to them. So just do that those two extra sets of precaution, I would say. Always send it in the bubble envelope or bubble bag that you get from us when you order parts, and then throw those two pieces of tape around lengthwise and around heightwise, and I think that'll kind of secure your package enough to make it here, even if it gets caught in their conveyor belt system. So except for a good question that Alex just had, that was the itinerary that I wanted to run through. I know we covered a lot here in just, 12 or 15 minutes of me rambling on here. But I would like to open the floor to any questions you guys have on the convention coming up, especially any suggestions for material that you guys want to have added to the agenda there. On any of those items that we've been offered from New Hampshire Ball Bearing, any of the Sable product or any of the U.S. Priority Mail stuff. One last update on the U.S. Priority Mail, actually not the Priority Mail, but the business reply labels. Most of you saw the email that I sent out with the good news provided to us by Tony Davis that the United States Postal Service has put that MRL label project on hold, and they are going to honor the business reply mail labels and that system moving forward. So that was good news to all of us. Unfortunately, Richard Razzo in Tucson, they wouldn't allow him to do that. He ended up having to fork over the dough for the MRL label system, and he can't go back into the business reply mail label system until next year. But good news for the rest of us, and good news for Richard starting next year. All right, guys, so to ask any questions or join the conversation in any way, just simply hit star 6 on your phone, and we'll open it up to questions, comments, anything you guys have.
David?
Yeah.
Alex? When we see you guys in Vegas, mm-hmm. is it possible to make the Copilot, a new version, available? I know there were so many changes and so forth. Is it one of those things that it's worth buying a new one if it's available? Or just replace, you know, there's so many add-ons during the last couple of years. I was just wondering, is it worth just getting a new one?
Well, I don't think you need a whole new one, but you're right. There's definitely been upgrades, and so I just wrote that down, and absolutely, we'll provide, like we did last time, we'll have a packet for you guys, which will be the upgrades. We'll provide an upgrade packet. So if you haven't been printing out some of those emails, maybe you've missed some, maybe some went to your spam folder,
right?
We'll have a complete upgrade packet for you with some of the new diagrams, all of the new Excel spreadsheets for the turbine guides that you guys refer to and use all the time, and anything else in there. So that's what we'll provide for you, Alex, and for everybody who attends, is an upgrade packet for
Good.
The Copilot.
Awesome.
Yep. Thank you very much.
Yep. Thank you.
David, it's horrible. I have a comment/question.
Yes.
I got a recent email from stamps.com, because I'm using them now, and they now offer a return shipping label, I guess similar to the United States Postal Service business reply label. And I'm just curious if anybody's using that and how that's working out in lieu of the business reply label system.
I have a quick question for you, but please, anybody who has used that, join in. So stamps.com is offering a return shipping label. Is that a prepaid ship label, or is it something that they won't actually charge until it's sent by the customer?
I need to research that more carefully. I didn't read through the details of it, but I want to research that, and I was just curious as to whether or not somebody's using it already.
Okay. Yeah, I had not heard that. I know, like I said, that we're all stoked because the United States Postal Service is going to honor the business reply label system that we're all using moving forward, at least indefinitely until they decide otherwise. I know they took so much flack over that merchandise return label that, you know, they decided to kind of can that idea. At least
well,
now.
I'll check this out. And I'll let you know my findings.
Well, please do, and I can email
sure.
that out to everybody. But, I mean, that's a great option as long as they don't charge you until that return shipping label is utilized by your customer.
Right.
Right?
I'll check it out and let you know.
Awesome. Anyone else with some comments about what we're talking about today, or really, if not, we can open the floor to just anything you guys want to talk about.
I have a question, but that's open.
Yeah, what do you have? Yeah, absolutely. Or what do you have?
Sorry. Good morning, everybody. I sometimes have difficulty reading the serial numbers off some of the machines. Does anybody have a trick that they use to be able to get, I use a magnifying glass, and a loop to get it because some of them have been old and it's been, you know, just rubbed away or something, worn away. Anybody got a trick on how to do that?
Yeah, may I chime in?
Absolutely, Alex.
I don't know where I got it, but it's a little like a jeweler loop. I can tell you in a second how big of a magnifying it is, but it's 99% of the time it works. And if I can't find anything above that, I just sometime inscribe in somewhere on the handpiece a number that it doesn't appear on the handle or something because you know, you don't want to mark their handpiece. But this particular one, it says, it's a folding magnifier. I think I got it for free from somewhere. It's a 10-time magnifier. And it's fantastic. It probably costs nothing. I mean, you can pick it up at probably in hardware stores or something.
But it does
a great job.
I think I must probably just need a bigger loop. Because I have got one here that.
There are special trained dogs that are trained to do that. They are service dogs for the handpiece business, and they sniff out the serial number when you can't see it. It comes with a free cane.
Sometimes I think I needed that. You know,
yeah.
Sometimes we replace. The sheath also, and they don't always have numbers on them. So anyway,
yeah.
So I just thought that maybe there was something, you know, that I could maybe.
Well, Erwin, what your loop? What power is it? Is it a 10 times power like Alex's? Or?
The loop that I have, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, while he's looking, Dave, this is Dave Reinhardt.
Sure, Dave.
I use the same thing. I have a 10-power loop, and I also have a 20-power loop. I will email you, Dave, company that I bought it from. It's actually a supply house for jewelers. Not only have I purchased the loop from them, I was able to get a pin vise from them and a couple of other tools that are handy. So I think it might be a good reference for folks.
Absolutely. I'd appreciate that, Dave. I know I brought it up on Google real quick while Erwin was asking the question, and they've got 20 power loops for anywhere from $10 to $70.
Okay.
Listed.
Mine's
a quality difference or the glass difference or something that these companies are going to claim, but a Balsh and Lom one's only $22 for a 20 power loop.
That's a good price for a Balsh and Lom. The name of this company is, I just got it here real quick, it's Caster. It's CAS-KER. I mean,
CAS-KER.
Yeah, CAS-KER. It's a jeweler supply house in Cincinnati. But, again, you know, I'm sure there are other sources for this kind of stuff, but I've found them to be a good supply house for, like, small screwdrivers and, like I said, the pin vise, burr holders, a couple of things like that that are handy.
Hey, David, Tony Davis.
Yeah, Tony, what do you have?
I picked up a loop at Harbor Freight for like $1.99, and it's got two loops on it, folds in. One's like a 10 power, you use two of them, it's 20 power. And, I mean, it's not a Bosch Lom, but it does a pretty good job for what I'm doing.
Well, for how
Thank
much?
You.
$2 or something?
Like a couple bucks when they run them on sale.
Holy cow. Well, you can't beat that price. Jeez.
Nah.
If it works.
Yeah.
I need to buy one because I've literally had to hand pieces to John here because he's got young eyes. I can't even read half of the serial numbers now.
You're getting that long arm disease.
Well, they said at 40 because I had, you know, 20/20 vision, never needed glasses, and someone said, yeah, wait till you turn 40. And by 40 and a half, I was at the optometrist getting glasses. And Bud was too. I think we both had to get glasses within 6 months of each other.
David?
So, yeah.
Didn't your mother told you you're going to go blind? So you must have, you must have stopped way ahead. I mean, you only need correction, but...
Wow.
Yeah. By the way, the one that I have was probably in that couple dollar version because somebody sent it to me. I don't know how I got it, but I know it was not nowhere in that 10, 20, 30 or whatever. And it does the job. That's all we really care.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much.
You guys might want to also increase the amount of light that you have. I know for me it's not so much the magnification, but it's getting the right light on it. I have a Dale had it. I use it. It's one of those magnifier lenses with a fluorescent light tube around it. I put two of them around the desk. They mount to your work table. You can move them around and swing them where you need them. That seems to really help because of the it adds a lot of extra light.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Raven. Yeah, so if you're in a kind of a dimly lit office or shop, Irwin, definitely pump up the light power.
Yep. You
got a good light, I take it?
Yeah, I've got good light. I've got
good
fluorescent lights all over the place there. Okay, thank you, gentlemen, and everybody, sorry, and ladies.
All right. Good question. A lot of response to that one because I think everybody's dealing with that issue, Irwin.
Yes, sounds like it.
Yep. All right, guys. We'll open the floor back up for a new topic. All right, I'll just try and wait just a few seconds there in case anybody's trying to get in, but if not, that's okay. So far, I really like Alex's idea on that co-pilot, so the upgrade packet's a great idea. Instead of relying on people just printing stuff out or even getting my emails, I know a lot of people, because of the security software, now with the emails, trying to block out all the spammers and the creative way that spammers hit you guys on your computers, I've heard from franchise owners or several that my emails or emails in general are going into their spam folder that they don't want to go to their spam folder. Even if they click on it, move to the inbox, and even click safe sender, sometimes it still doesn't 100% do the job. So check your guys' spam folder on kind of a daily basis. Filter out and delete what you don't want, and that way you'll catch everything. I'm sure that you've got others emailing you good stuff, too. So that's just a little tip here for you. Bud's on vacation, so hopefully you guys aren't going through too many withdrawals. He's up camping with the family, so I'm a little bit jealous about that. I don't know how good of a fisherman he is, but if they got anything up there with a motor on it, I'm sure he'll have fun.
Hey, Dave?
Yeah.
Hey, this is Steve.
Yeah, Steve.
What I'd like to do is take this opportunity to encourage our fellow owners on the call today to help us encourage other fellow franchise owners that are not going to the convention to go. I mean, historically, over the years, and I've done so many of these for not only the Dennis Choice, but my other franchise brand, historically, the two excuses are always, well, I'm too busy, I can't take the time, or I don't have the money. If that's you, and those are your excuses, then you need to go. You would benefit most from the, you know, being there at this convention. It's not just what, you know, the technical content, networking with the others and doers and shakers, it's being around like-minded people. And you walk away always with takeaways. I've never talked to anybody that's gone to one of our conventions that didn't walk away with a takeaway that paid for the airline ticket and hotel costs, firstly. And secondly, it's an opportunity to really step away from your business, really think about what you're doing, working on your business. what you're doing, how you're doing it, asking yourself a lot of hard questions. Is there a better way to do this? Am I doing too much pickup and delivery? Yes. Talk to Tony B's of the world that don't do any of it. And, you know, if you want to drive, you want to drive revenues and drive profitability, start matching and mirroring, you know, our top tier guys. So if you know of a franchise owner that's not going, talk to them about it, and then have them get in touch with me, because I want to hear excuses like, well, my daughter's getting married, or I'm caring for my dad and I can't leave. Some really good excuse. I don't want to hear those other two excuses. I just don't buy that, because it's really important that everybody, there's some franchises, by the way, they make the franchises mandatory, the franchise convention's mandatory. I've never made anything mandatory. I respect you guys and gals. This is your business, your life. You're going to get out of it what you put into it. But, you know, we got to get some, I think we need to step it up this year, Dave, and take a proactive approach to calling everybody that's not signed up as of this week and really get to the bottom of it, okay?
Absolutely, Steve. Will do.
Good to hear from everybody. I can always count on Alex to get me going in the morning, man. You're funny. Look forward to seeing all of you soon.
It's funny that you're saying it's nice to hear. It's hard to hear you. So, you know, buy a better phone or a nicer car or something so we can hear you. Or close that sunroof down. Tell you.
Nothing I can do. I'm on a busy freeway with cops all around me on a Bluetooth.
Okay.
I hope you were able to hear me.
Yes, I'm just messing with you, as usual. Anyway, we're looking forward to see you in a couple months.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, thanks, guys. Well, does anybody have anything else to add? We like to take advantage of these moments when we're all together, and here we are with another 15 minutes or so, 20 minutes to open that floor up. So if anybody's got anything, go ahead and jump in.
David, this is Cecil.
Yeah, Cecil.
I had three handpieces lost in the mail a couple months back. I think you know about that. One of the things that happened was I got the box. It's all trashed up. There was no handpieces in it, but there was a slight piece of paper that gave an indication where it was from. I called and found out that it was being shipped. It shipped. The doctor tried to sue me, and she was thinking I was responsible for it. I had a friend of mine that's a lawyer just sent a notice to them saying that we were not responsible for that, but maybe I could try to get her some handpieces at a lower cost. And it all worked out that she was trying to push the issue, but it came back to the point where when those return labels are sent to me, all they will reimburse the doctor or the person that sent it is $50. And there is, I understand, I was wondering if anybody else knew about this, there is a return label that you can get from the Postal Service that has a place that the doctor can insure it at a greater cost or a greater price, so they can get an insurance on it. Do you know anything about that? With particularly label that I have, it cannot be insured unless they actually relabel the box, the priority box. There is, I guess, I understand that there is a postal label that I can get that I put on there that they can just add insurance to it. Have you heard anything about that?
Well, absolutely. I know in doing our just hours and hours and days of research on this darn merchandise return labels, I know that they do offer those with an option to add insurance. It's a line item that you have to add to the label when you're creating it. As far as the business reply labels, I don't know the answer to that. So that's something that we can research and find out. On the merchandise return labels, yes, absolutely that can be done. But I don't expect you or anybody else to pay those exorbitant merchandise return label fees, setup fees, just to do that. It'd probably be easier to find some other way where you can just add a sticker or something to the package that you know, will make that happen. So I don't know if anyone else knows. Please chime in now. Love to hear from you.
David, it's Harv.
Yes, Harv.
I did have one success story on a lost hand piece that popped out of a bag. Back in the early days, I used the paper bag instead of the plastic one. And I took a picture off the internet from the hand piece, like the one I lost, and I determined the mailing went through three different post offices, and I took one to each post office. In this case, it was a local. They were all fairly local post offices. And they were kind enough to post the picture on the bulletin boards, and sure enough, I ended up getting it back about 2 weeks later.
Well,
they found it somewhere out of the bag laying on a floor in one of the post offices.
We've had a real time, like David had, as far as receiving damaged priority boxes. Mine goes through St. Louis and then Kansas City and then the local places, and it's really being damaged on the ways. A lot of them are crushed and so forth like that, and I made complaints for this, but we did lose some last year that was found down south another main post office, and all the places are. If you got a damaged one, it always ends up down there in I think Alabama. So they did find two hand pieces in a prior thing, but this one here. We didn't find yet, or the doctor did. I'm looking for a way where I can hand. I like the Tyvek bag that we send them out, box, the return box, pre-labeled with a return address inside of a Tyvek bag, and that pretty much ensures that they're going to get there on the way back to them. But I haven't yet found out how a way I could provide that Tyvek bag for them to send them to us. I feel real safe with that Tyvek bag.
Yeah, because that thing it's hard to tear that sucker, right?
Yeah, it's not crush-proof unless it has a box in it.
Right, but the material itself won't rip, and that's the problem that you have with any lost hand pieces typically, is that the packaging has actually ripped, whether it's a U.S. Priority Mail envelope or box, or a you know, unfortunately, kind of more of the Manila type of envelope.
On the box, I'm always finding that it's been crushed to the point where the doctor doesn't tape up the sides or the ends, or some of them I'm finding that they don't even pull the strip off the front and tab the front, you know, push the front down. So it's I put notes in there and how to notes and how to seal them. But some of these assistants, they just don't get it, you know.
Well, you know, yeah. It's one of the things that Tim Anderson was always really good at was creating disclaimers. I know he emailed them out to you guys several times, and a lot of you guys actually use them in some of what you do now. But to put some sort of disclaimer on the little instruction sheet that I know you guys all include with your return labels and packages, to put on there something that this must be secured properly with tape, you know, something to that effect. That way, if you get that package and it doesn't, it doesn't have tape as per the instructions in the sheet that you provide with your return label items, you know, I mean, there's just a should be a kind of a defense for you right there.
We
yeah,
have
Dave.
Yes.
This is Dave again. You know, I'd like to offer up a suggestion here. I've converted completely to the U-line crush-proof boxes, 4x2x9, and I've gotten some of those with footprints on them, and they simply do not deform in any way. And what I've been doing is enclosing inside the box. Actually, I'm converted to the MRS labels. I enclose an MRS label inside the box. So it goes out from me with a label from stamps.com, and then when it comes back to me, all they have to do is put the enclosed label on top of the stamps.com label. But these boxes, I get them sometimes, they haven't put any tape on them at all, and they're perfectly fine. They kind of lock shut. And I have found that if when they're new, I put a I cut out these full-size labels. I put one of those on top first so that when I get them back, I can just peel everything right off the top. So I'm able to reuse those box four or five times easily. So the cost per use is really quite low, and I haven't done the math, but it may even be cheaper than using those Tyvek envelopes. And it is, you know, by far a lot more secure. So for what it's worth, you guys may want to consider that.
No, that's great input, because a lot of people shy away from the boxes, Dave, because they look at the expense.
Right.
And if you look at the expense for one shipment, yeah, it's significant. But if you're able to reuse the box, you know, three, four, five times, all of a sudden it's very affordable to do that.
Yeah, and the other thing, I mean, I've got one right in my hand here. I bought those labels from you, Dave. The
stickers, TDC stickers?
Yeah, and on the sides of it, I mean, it's got a big Dennis Choice logo, and it says the Dennis Choice, Dave Reinhardt, and then my phone number underneath it. So they put it up on the shelf in the lab, and when they're looking for that box, it's real easy for me to point them to it. I just say, look for the logo, you know, because they get mixed up with all the other boxes they have. And, you know.
Will you do me a favor, Dave, and just with your smartphone, just take a couple of pictures, maybe one from the front or top and then one from the side, and send it to me, and then I'll send it out. I'll do an e-blast to everybody with what you've done as far as the sticker, the label, and then maybe even the pricing that you get the boxes for.
Yeah, just on that pricing, I've just a lot of people shy away from Uline because of the shipping charges.
Right.
And I've just discovered that Staples sells these boxes as well. I actually bought one pack of them. They sell them in smaller packs than 100, as I recall, and the shipping is free. So, you know, I know a lot of folks shy away from buying anything that's got any weight to it from Uline because of their shipping charges, but you can avoid those using Staples. And then finally, on the inside of the box, it's kind of convenient because I have stickers that I bought from Uline, and I have all the instructions on those stickers right inside the top of the box, the top cover. So right when they're ready to use it, the instructions are staring them right in the face. They don't get lost. So in any case, for what it's worth, I think the box system is superior. If you use a 9-inch box, you can throw brochures in there and just lay them flat right in there. And so I put the sharpening brochures and whatever else I have, you know, without folding them up too much. That's it.
Excellent. Well,
David, Jack Hawkins.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, Jack.
I use the Uline boxes, and I use two of them. I use a 7x5x2 for my return label, but for boxes that they send back to me. If you use the pencil pouch, it folds in half and fits excellently inside that box and keeps anything moving around. And then to send it to my customers, I use a 9x6.5x2 box, 2.75 box, and nest the smaller box into it. And, of course, I send my stuff back FedEx. And I haven't had any problems with crushed or lost in either one of those, of course. The 5x7, or excuse me, the 7x5x2s are about 63 cents each. But once you put the label, once I put the label on it and the return label, I cover all that in packing tape. And so the box is, you know, like it's covered in plastic. Then you can reuse them several times until, you know, they get too dirty or too ugly. And you, but of course, the 9x6.5x2.75 is a one-way box. But it's, and they run a, you get 50 of them at 42 cents each from Uline. So that's just for general information.
So you're at a dollar, you know, for the two boxes, but you probably do two things. One, do you probably reuse those internal boxes, correct?
Exactly.
Okay, so that cuts that down to a point where it might be, if you use it 5, 6, 8 times, you're really almost nothing on that. And then secondly, do you have any kind of shipping and handling fee?
No.
No? I know that we talked about this at the convention last time in Vegas, and almost everybody had gone to some sort of a shipping and handling fee, whether it was somebody was as low as like the price of a gallon of gas, and a couple guys were at all the way up to like $7.95 per shipment. Or so that might be something to consider too. That way, if you're putting an extra 50 cents or so into your shipping goods, then at least you got it covered with that fee. I should have you talk to Tony D or Alex, Jack, because those two guys both were a little bit suspect that their customers might complain about some sort of shipping and handling fee.
Please don't let me talk to Alex.
Yeah. And I think they said they'd got absolutely no flack at all. Maybe one guy or something asked him about it or complained about it.
At the last convention, you know, that I forget the couple's name, the young couple from Houston who the wife is a dentist, talked about how aggravating it was to get nickeled and dimed. I'd rather raise my price a dollar on the handpiece repair, cover it, or $2 even. People seem to be a lot more acceptable if you just raise your prices a little, couple of bucks, $3, whatever it takes, whatever you feel like it takes to cover the cost of your materials and shipping. And it's a one price thing. When they see it, it's that and the taxes, and they're, you know, they just get it. It's not all nickel and dime, but, you know, whatever floats your boat.
Okay. Well, as long as you're making up for it somewhere, Jack, I just hate to see, you know, you're putting out an extra dollar or two per shipment and not recovering that.
I've got some doctors who just flat refuse to drop anything in the mail, you know, I just raise their prices to cover the cost, and that's the same with the shipping. I just raise it a couple of $3 or whatever it takes to cover it. So.
Right. Okay. Well, you've definitely thought about that. So. You've got your costs covered, which is good. And you've got a safe way to ship hand pieces back and forth without losing any, obviously. All right, guys, anyone else? We're kind of reaching the bewitching hour, so I'll let you guys all get back to it. I'm going to email out a couple of links that you guys sent me during the meeting here as far as on the loops and the packaging. So that'll be something for you guys to look for in your inbox after the meeting or when you get home later today. I want to thank everybody for contributing, especially kind of the usuals, right? The Alexes and the Daves, and Raven's been helping out a lot lately, as well as Tony D and good questions from Cecil and everyone else. So thanks a lot, Jack and Don and everybody. Appreciate all your input, and we will talk to you soon. Have a great day, everybody. Bye. David Morgan. Anita.
Hey, how are you this morning?
Anita, well, I'm doing well, and I had a great meeting with our group this morning, but I must admit I forgot to stop my recording. Is there any way I can have you stop your recording and restart it for your group?
You bet. I'll do it right now.
All right. Thank you very much, Anita.
Thanks, David. Take care.
All right. Talk to you
soon.
Bye-bye.